Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 9 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we enter into this very holy season, we pray that you will guide us. We pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and keep us ever mindful of Jesus' sacrifice for each of us. So now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to hear your word, that you will have us hear it as you would envision for each of our lives. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Well, we hear people say that they have had a wilderness experience, or perhaps you are in the midst of a wilderness experience. In our contemporary society, it usually means that we feel lost or abandoned, that we feel alone and confused about the future. We're in the wilderness, and we don't know which way to turn. But as we hear this scripture passage, we recognize that clearly Jesus was not lost. Jesus was not confused about the future. And most importantly, when Jesus was looking evil in the face, he was not abandoned or alone. Now, to put this scene in context, in the third chapter of Luke, the chapter immediately preceding, Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist. And John, as we know, has been promising that there would be coming a Messiah, one who John said he was not worthy to untie his sandals. And it says that also it lists the genealogy of Jesus, and it wants to make abundantly clear that Jesus came as a descendant from Abraham and from David, because that is specified as a qualification for the coming Messiah. So Luke wants to make sure that we recognize that in this scene in the desert, Jesus has been readily identified as the one that God has sent, and it is only that one that can stand up to the face of evil, as Jesus has. So he has the correct lineage, coming from the lineage of David. At the time of his birth, it is announced that he will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God is present at his baptism, and he declares that Jesus is his son. So we might wonder, what is this temptation in the wilderness all about? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5 that there is a connection between the first man, Adam, and Jesus. Paul compares the disobedience of Adam to the obedience of Christ, indicating that it is the obedience of Christ that constitutes for us a righteous status in the eyes of God the Father. Paul clearly teaches that in order for us to be saved, Jesus had to succeed where Adam had failed. Adam gave in to the temptation of evil, and Jesus said, "Get away from me, Satan." Jesus, in his own human form, had to keep God's covenant if we were to be redeemed. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and then in the very next scene, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It is no accident that Jesus winds up in the wilderness. He is not lost. His scriptural debate with the devil functions as proof of Jesus' readiness as God's Son for the mission that has been entrusted to him. He has the credentials and the authority for this mission, amply demonstrated by his genealogy and the birth narrative. And now, through this wilderness test, he takes his place as the beloved Son of God, and he begins his journey toward Jerusalem and the cross. And friends, let us never forget that he did this for you and me. Throughout the scriptures, the wilderness represents a place of preparation, a place of waiting for God's next move, a place of learning to trust in God's mercy. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus remains in the wilderness without food, getting ready for what comes next. Now, that number 40 has special significance. We see it throughout the Bible. 40 were the days and nights that Noah and his family endured the deluge on board the ark, after which God made a covenant never again to destroy the earth with a flood. We know that from Genesis. In Exodus and Deuteronomy, 40 are the days and nights that Moses fasted on Mount Sinai as he inscribed the words of God's covenant for the Israelites. From 1 Kings, 40 are the days and nights Elijah fasted in the desert before receiving a new commission from God. And from Exodus and Deuteronomy again, 40 are the years the Israelites wandered in the wilderness in preparation for their arrival in the promised land. And now today, 40 are the days of the season of Lent as Christians participate in Jesus' ministry, as we follow his way toward the cross. How might we make ourselves ready for the way of the Lord in the places where we are called to be? To what mission is God calling the church? and what is needed for this congregation, corporately and individually, to be prepared. Yes, Jesus was being tested in the wilderness. Taking advantage of Jesus' hunger, the devil tries to entice him. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you will bow down and worship me." All the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, all for the very low price of worshiping the devil. All the power and glory and adoration that would come with ruling all the kingdoms of the world. Just sell your human soul, Jesus. Just turn your back on everything that is righteous and holy and just. But of course, we know that Jesus did not take the bait. Quoting the law from Deuteronomy one more time, he said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." He took Jesus to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down." Then the devil quoted from Psalm 91, "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus fired back from Deuteronomy, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Says then the devil gave up, not on the world, but he gave up on Jesus. And it says, then the devil left him until an opportune time. Just think about that, an opportune time. Always waiting. Well, think about this incredible message, and think about this incredible Savior that we call Christ the Lord. Jesus refuses to turn stones into bread to satisfy his own hunger. But before long, he will feed thousands with just a few loaves and some fish. He will teach his disciples to pray to God for their daily bread. Jesus turns down the devil's offer of power and prestige over the kingdoms of the world. And instead, our Lord offers the kingdom of God to all of those who follow him in the way of righteousness. He refuses to take advantage of his relationship with God by hurling himself down from the heights of a temple. But at the end of his earthly ministry, he endures the taunts of others as he hangs at the heights of a cross. It is during this season of Lent, as we spend 40 days in our own wilderness, let us never turn our eyes away from the grace of God. The same God who by his word saw Jesus safely through the wilderness. Yes, that same God is with you and me here today. And during this season of Lent, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made so that the world could truly know the God of all righteousness for eternity. I'm going to read Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. This is indeed the God, the Messiah that we worship during this season of Lent. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is the Messiah that we follow during this season of Lent. That is the one who humbled himself even to death on a cross. It's in this holy season that we come to acknowledge him and his majesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, as we enter into this very holy season, we feel your presence, we feel your guidance, we feel you prompting us to be bold as we enter into a time of reverence, and certainly a time of reflection on how perhaps we can change our own lives to be better servants of yours. We just pray, Lord, that you will guide us, that you will give us the confidence to engage with you in a way that perhaps we never have before. And Lord, we pray that as we remember Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made, that we will be humbled, that we will be awed. And we thank you, Lord, for the story today of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, because it does indeed remind us that only Jesus could face that kind of temptation and still be blameless in the world. This morning, Lord, we remember those who are in need of your care and your comfort. We do lift up to you those who are in need of your healing and your comfort in their times of illness. We do lift up Emily. We lift up Reverend Love. We lift up Mrs. Love. Lord, we lift up Janine. And Lord, we lift up to you a special prayer this morning for Josep as he goes to Charlottesville and faces a catheterization on Tuesday. Lord, we have great confidence that it's going to go smoothly and without incident, but we pray that Josep will feel your presence with him and that you will give him peace and comfort. Lord, we thank you for all of these wonderful people who turn to you and seek your comfort now. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day, the sunshine, and this season of the year when we anticipate renewed life. So, Lord, we turn all of this to you, and we pray with great wonder and amazement in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.